It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
That's right, a big ball of anxiety coming at you.
Boy, we got into this show.
4 hours in the loop. Of course, as the man said, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, in the loop, getting going on a Thursday, a thirsty Thursday.
Yes, it is.
Apparently, for me personally, the thirst is anxiety. I'll try to tamp that down.
But you're not alone this time.
Yeah, no, that is good. And that probably does speak to the idea that I need to be setting up some appointments with the therapist here soon, right? Like, just generally. But the football anxiety, I think, exists a little bit because this is the week in which you get your best test. D'Amico Ryans alluded to that when he also pointed to Jordan Love as the best quarterback that you will have faced to date in this season, which obviously rose, you know, caught people's attention.
Yeah.
Ears perked up at that point because they're like, oh, really? Okay.
That's a shot at Josh Allen.
Word to Josh Allen. You got anything to say there? But yeah, so there's that portion of it. But also.
Beef.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yes, sir. But then it goes further than just the quarterback portion of it. This is a very good Green Bay Packers team. They had a little bit of a, you know, a surge forward last year with that season. And obviously then, you know, various things in the postseason, having a nice little run that gave them a lot more shine. So you are going up as a Texas team looking to have that resurgence. In fact, you, Lopez, have pointed to them as kind of like bizarro Texas of the NFC.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, this game with the Packers is going to – every game you try to learn something, what's it going to mean, all that stuff. Last week we're like, all right, you know, I said on Monday they're a Super Bowl contender, you know, based on what I saw and how they performed and the guys that were back, et cetera. I still believe that, but I think you're going to learn a lot about just how good this offensive line is. You're going to learn a lot more about just how good this defense is against the run. You know, you're going to learn a lot because the Packers – you know, obviously the Vikings were a huge test and they slapped you around a little bit, but going into the game you know what you're getting this time, and you're ready for it, you know what to expect, and I think this team, this game is going to say a lot about a lot of people, especially the offensive line.
All right, so let's go into that. from the 832, the Packers have beat nobody. What are y'all scared of? Well, let's get into that. Okay. And, of course, when I say the 832, that is on the text line. 713-572-4610. That is the number to text to get involved with the conversation. What stands to be learned about your Houston Texans from this game in Green Bay? You started listing some of those things off. Let's get there. Like, I do wonder, you feel like offensive line is one of those places where you stand to gain a good idea of what's happening here. I spent my walk to work this morning kind of watching some tape on the wham blocks that this Texans team used to kind of bust a few of the big runs that they did. The Joe Mixon runs in particular, you know, using kind of that wham concept, tight ends coming in and hitting that defensive tackle and allowing your interior defensive lineman to get up to the second level. I know that we played audio yesterday of Seth talking about how that's not going to be something that you can use as a panacea for running the football. Are you going to be able to continue to use the wham blocks? Is it going to be more traps where you're using your tackles to kind of do similar things? But are you going to be able to get the interior of your offensive line up to the second level? And that's the deeper way, I guess, of saying, will this team be able to block up and run the football against teams that are not just the Patriots and the Colts, where you were able to get explosive against defenses that are prone to giving those things up?
And on the other side, stop it. And so I think both those things, the offensive line, the blocking, and the interior defense, and this thought kind of occurred to me when I saw the official injury report yesterday, and we're going to get reports from practice today, so we'll have another report for you during the course of our show. But as I'm looking at this and thinking about what you just said on the offensive line, I was thinking, all right, we know now how this game is going to be won or lost. I think we know now how that will happen, and I don't know if it makes you anxious, nervous, whatever. Because when you look at the injury report, the thought occurs, let's start with the offensive side. They're healthy, but they're facing a defense that is eighth against the run overall in the NFL. Last week, they had their best game. They allowed just 89 yards against the Cardinals rushing. And the Cardinals were no chump rushing the ball going into that game. So offensively, was that real last week? Was that real? We're going to find out.
Yeah.
We're going to find out just how good they are.
Yeah, and you mentioned on the other side, defensively stopping the run is going to be very interesting as well. Josh Jacobs over there, you talk about no chump. That is a dude who is no chump. He busts off explosive plays at the fifth highest rate than as anyone in the league. Like, that is where you get to be, it gets to be a problem, right? Chunk plays is, in some ways, the name of the game of football. Limiting those or gaining them if you are on offense. And in a sense, as we're talking about defense, so limiting those. And where do those chunk plays come from, Lopez?
Right. Look, Jordan Love can win this game with his arm. C.J. Stroud can win this game with his arm. But this game is going to be won with the defense, the interior defense of the Texans. After I saw the injury report yesterday, they could have four new starters at the defensive tackle and linebacker position.
Yeah, on the interior, or the spine of the defense, as they like to say.
Yeah, up the middle. Henry Toto was a DNP, did not participate. Aziz Al-Shaair did not participate. Mario Edwards is suspended.
Correct.
And Danico Autry is going to come in. Fola Fatakasi was a DNP yesterday. So,
with a shoulder.
Yeah, so Danico Autry is going to come in. And if you know anything about Nick Casario, you know he thinks he's a junkyard dog. But he hadn't played.
And a bad man that you don't want to see in the alley, in a dark alley. Yeah, absolutely.
You want him behind you in a dark alley.
Or with you, or in front of you, just generally in your company.
Yeah, I want nobody behind me in a dark alley. Hold up.
You want him to do
the
heavy lifting in a dark alley. We'll put it that way. But that said, he hasn't played a game in 284 days. So there's and it's a position where he's kind of been like almost a part-time player on the interior.
Yeah, and a part-time player where you imagine that, okay, he can give you a little something in the run, but that is not his claim to fame, right?
Like, right.
You brought him here as consummate pass rusher, guy who can give you that. And when he has moved inside, it has been third downs, clear passing down situations where he's allowed to, get upfield and, go get the passer. And you would be asking him in this instance to maybe play more, or maybe now you're looking towards the likes of Tim Settle and Kurt Heinisch, who's coming back, who's been activated this week. Maybe you're looking to those guys, but then also the rotation of that, when you start having that kind of specialization, it's good in some ways, but it's bad in some ways, because if you have the specialized lineup out there that's there to stop the run,
exactly,
can they then are they going to have opportunities to pass the football? Or if you have the specialized unit that's out there to stop the pass, are they then going to be able to run the football on you? That's something that my anxiety brain is taking me to when you talk about that. But what is Danico Autry going to look like fitting in with what's happening here is another thing that's there to be learned in during the course of this game.
Trust me, this game is going to be bliss for all those people, all those texters that say, I watched the lines, I watched the block, because the interior of the Texans defense is absolutely going to spell the difference. Despite what Jordan Love can do, what C.J. Stroud can do, 11 of Josh Jacobs' longest 12 runs this year, his 12 longest runs, I say this year, in the last three games, I went back three games, are between the tackles. And you got four new starters there. You got one dude. How many snaps is Danico Autry going to get? in his first game.
Well, if you listen to D'Amico Ryans, and this was a cut six when he talked to the media yesterday, he was asked directly about, like, D'Amico Autry. Just, is he ready to go? Like, what's happened with him? You know, are there any level of parameters or restrictions on him?
Autry, he's ready to go. He's been doing a lot of work. You know, while people weren't watching him, while he wasn't here, he put a lot of work in. And that's the biggest thing. And that's a credit to all our guys. And I really, you know, with our sports performance group and the way they work with our guys when they're not here, like, it just shows how Dylan came back. Dylan was ready to go. Damian steps back in. Joe steps back in. Like, that's a credit to not just the football side, but our sports performance side, our training room, and how they have our guys prepared. When they do get back, they're back and they're ready to be effective for us.
I don't doubt a single word of that, but how many snaps does that equal? You know, when you have four, you know what I'm saying? Is it 60%? Is it 90%?
Right, and I think that question probably, again, skews more to the idea of style of play in those instances, well, as opposed to like his capability. Mm-hmm. I don't doubt that if they really wanted him to be out there for majority of the snaps that he could. But again, when you have those guys in the interior, where you, like, when you're probably going to need Heinisch and Settle and those types of guys, will that then take away from D'Amico Autry being on the field, and how does that balance out? I'm interested to see that whole rotation, as this is a defense that likes rotating those guys. I think that that's going to be really interesting to see during the course of this. For me, another thing that stands to be gained is, I think we all believe that the tip of the spear with this team is the defense, and the tip of the spear of the defense is generating pressure. Just how good are you at that? Because this Packers offensive line is one of the three best, or at least, I guess, to make it more general, one of the five best offensive lines in the league. I was looking at it last night. The Packers were blitzed the most out of all offenses thus far this season, 39.4%. And they have the second lowest sack percentage.
I mean, think about that.
Now, sacks are also often considered a quarterback stat, and Jordan Love can move around. But this is, even graded by Pro Football Focus, they're a top five offensive line. They can keep their quarterback upright. So just how effective will you be with Will Anderson, with Danielle Hunter, and obviously all the other factors that we have talked about as well? Like, how effective will you be at getting at him? And then what does that mean? Are you going to see the blitz again tick up in the same ways that we've seen them sometimes go? Obviously, sometimes because you're facing a rookie quarterback. Or is this then going to put more responsibility on, yo, those guys, make sure you try and apply pressure with four. Yeah. We're just going to try and cover back here. But then what does that coverage look like with, as you mentioned, the various injuries you're dealing with, especially Kamari Lassiter and Jimmy Ward, who we have reporting saying that they're not going to play?
Yeah, no, absolutely. How much do you blitz? Can you get away with it? Jordan Love is not just mobile, he's smart. I mean, he gets the ball in the right spots and he gets it out.
He'll make some bad decisions on you, but it's not even, I guess, maybe not bad decisions. He'll make kind of, he'll take some risks.
Exactly. This is the way to say. Got a little bit of that swashbuckler in him, so to speak. And oh, by the way, you know, talking about the interior of the Texans defense, even if you had all four starters and D'Amico Autry, they're the second best rushing offense in the entire NFL. So this is a trenches game. You know, it absolutely is. What are you going to do offensively? You know, not just rushing the ball, but that's huge, but also protecting C.J. Stroud. And can you, number one, as you just pointed out, get to Jordan Love with your front four? Number two, can you stop them between the tackles? Because they are really good between the tackles, like really, really good. It is a trenches game. Like I said earlier, certainly it can be a close game and Jordan Love wins it or C.J. Stroud wins it with their arm. But the tone of this game is going to be set right there on the lines.
I don't know exactly how to frame this in talking about the things that we can continue to learn about this team in this upcoming Green Bay Packer game in Lambeau, mind you. But just how good is CJ at protecting the football? And it's not just going to be
turnovers.
But this is a team in the Packers that generates turnovers at an incredible clip. And a lot of this is because of, you know, the Jeff Hafley, the new defense coordinator. You're going to hear his name a lot for the Packers this week. He has an emphasis, a very unique emphasis. In fact, I was reading a piece in The Athletic about these guys, and they are leaning on the the doctrine of Campy 316, which is Campanile, their linebackers coach, Anthony Campanile. Like, they are teams that really punch at the football and those types of things. But then also Xavier McKinney back there being able to get interceptions as well. That has been a big addition for them defensively. So CJ has obviously done a really good job understanding that teams are playing too high and not allowing him to take those deep shots that you can tell that he loves. You know, getting the ball into safe spaces, which we know he is capable of doing, but obviously at this level, this type of game, with I imagine the pressure that they're going to be able to put on you, probably on the scoreboard in some ways, is going to be able to continue to have the mature decision making, which I'm not really worried about. But then once the ball is in the hands of some of your playmakers, are they going to be cautious enough to make sure that they hold on to it? Because this team loves punching it out.
They lead the league in turnover differential and total turnovers. They've created 17 fumbles and interceptions that they have recovered or they've gotten in six games. So, I'm glad you brought that up because that's the other part of it. What you can do protecting the ball, what you can do to take away the ball. And they had a nice run last week, the Texans. So we'll see if that can play. But this is an anxious type of week for the Texans fan and Texans fans in particular.
Yeah, so it's an opportunity to learn more about this team, I think, as any week is, right? I don't want to make it seem like it is outsized. But again, this is the biggest challenge.
This seems real, though, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is a real test.
This is a real test. And I know there's a few folks on the text line that I guess, I don't know if I want to, I'm not trying to be mean in saying this, but are seemingly kind of waving away the Packers, saying who have they beaten. They're 4-2. They're two losses to the Eagles and the Vikings, obviously. Better teams. The Eagles are kind of in this weird nebulous place where it feels like they're in a little bit of crisis, even though they still have a lot of talent. Their wins against the Colts, the Titans, the Rams, and the Cardinals, maybe not teams that you write home against, but even in those losses, both those times they scored 29 points. And again, it is worth noting that they did not have Jordan Love for a lot of these games as well, and they were able to make things happen. Plus, their defense has been okay while generating a lot of turnover. So they have some unique things that they bring that run up against what the Texans do. And so hopefully we get to learn about those things that we talked about and maybe more as your Texans will go to Lambeau Field on Sunday. We're just getting going here on a Thursday here in The Loop, Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Get involved with the program. The Twitch and the YouTube are there for you. Sports Radio 610 on YouTube. Twitch is 610 Houston. And, of course, always text to us 713-572-4610. We greatly appreciate you doing that. All right, let's keep it going here in The Loop. And we are mere days away from the NBA season getting started. Obviously, your Rockets have their final preseason game tonight against the Spurs at Toyota Center at 7. The Ringer put together a really interesting list of a defining stat for every NBA team ahead of the season. What is it for the Rockets, and what does that mean for this season coming forward? We'll discuss that next. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter.
You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Thursday in the loop, Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, you have Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula. Always get involved with the program by texting in 713-572-4610. Ringer put together an interesting piece, one that I found to be insightful in trying to preview the NBA season, which tips off on Tuesday. Your Rockets get going on Wednesday versus the Hornets. In fact, they have their final preseason game tonight, 7 p.m. At Toyota Center versus the Spurs. But not to get into that, Zach Cram put together a defining stat for each team in the NBA as you head into the season, and one that's going to kind of really shape the way that you view the team, I imagine. And for the Houston Rockets, that number is 24.5. And that 24.5 alludes to, shout out to, yes, Yarbrough and the people, which obviously.
Not a baby. That's a smart person right there.
That's a good person.
That's a smart guy right there, a girl.
24.5 is the points per game averaged by Jalen Green down the stretch.
March, basically.
Yeah, basically. And, of course, that was a final 24 games, which is a top 20 mark in that span. Something that if you're talking about top 20 in the NBA, now we're talking about potential, like star level, which is, I think, what we are trying to figure out if Jalen Green is when it comes to figuring out the development of this team and how you move forward going into his second contract, if he gets a max contract, all those things here with Houston. Is he going to be capable of tapping into that Jalen Green as opposed to the Jalen Green that we've seen before that's been inconsistent at times, you know, maybe not necessarily as effective and definitely not as dominant on the floor? That is the number that comes up. And what we're talking about with Jalen Green.
Look, I think capable, yes. I think the more appropriate thing for me, anyway, is capable to consistently be just at least 20 points a game. You know, at least 20. Be a guy that can get it done. Because the offense is what's kind of held back this team last year. You know, just the consistent offensive performances that they had collectively.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to have to run, you know, a lot through, obviously, Şengün, but... through Jalen Green in terms of perimeter, in terms of getting to the basket, you know, knocking down those shots. Yes, consistently be that guy. This is the Jalen Green season. And it's not just to me. It's to a lot of people.
Right.
You know, this is the Jalen Green season. He's at a point right now. You know, obviously contract comes into play.
Exactly.
And, you know, and that to me is a good thing. You want him to be have that motivation. But if it doesn't happen, I think you kind of have your answer.
But I think that's one of the reasons why it's focal is that both Alperen Şengün and Jalen Green are in that situation where they're heading into the final year of their rookie deals.
Yeah.
And afterwards, they would be restricted free agents. And you have to try and figure out the thing that we've all been trying to figure out is what's the foundation of a contending Rockets team? Like right now, you're kind of interested. You just kind of had a 500 season and you want to vault yourself into the playoffs. You want to vault yourself into some level of contention. In order to do that, you have to have the foundation of what you build around and what defines how you play. And right now, it feels like that will definitely be Alperen Şengün. Then you ask, is that going to also be Jalen Green? And the deadline to kind of get some of that figured out is Monday, as that's the last day where you can get a extension done before you head into the season on these guys. And it feels very certain that they're not going to have that for Jalen Green. Maybe they have it done for Alperen Şengün on Monday, but then that means that this season will go a long way in determining just how much maybe Jalen Green gets on
the free
agency market, what you match, what they think of him as well. And so, yeah, what is Jalen Green going to be, especially with Alperen Şengün? Like I mentioned, Alperen Şengün seems like he is going to be a focal point. They're running offense through him. He is getting better as a player, as a passer in particular. Defense still remains to be seen in some ways. But Jalen Green, those 24 games, was because Alperen Şengün wasn't there for a good amount of that. Now, is he able to replicate that with Alperen?
And able to play alongside him at that level is the primary thing. Because, look, this is still a very young team. And I actually think that they're going to improve on 41 and 41. And the reason I say that is because of another number that I feel is pretty key. And I don't know what the exact number is, but maybe this is it. Three is the number. They had the third fewest road wins. A young team that develops starts to win more road games.
Yeah.
You know, and so I thought the fact that they were so bad on the road last year, you know, that speaks directly to not just the growth of the team, but the growth of Jalen Green, being able to dial it up consistently, be a scorer no matter the environment, be a scorer no matter who is on the floor with him, feeding off of Şengün and from Van Vliet, of course, getting it done. So I think they should be able to be a better road team, but it also goes back and points to Green.
Yeah. You mentioned him as a scorer, and I think that's an interesting place to kind of look at because he gets downhill and scores that way as a slasher, right?
Getting to the rack.
Outside of that, right, there's a lot of inconsistency shooting-wise. He is not consistent. And then also being a part of a system, especially one that's focused around another guy when you're a scorer, I feel like you have to have some other maybe not talents, but other characteristics that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Which of those do you feel like he can foster? Because we know he can get to the rim and score, but that's not enough, right? Mm-hmm. Especially to be a star player, to be a guy that's foundational. It seems like, you know, this team benefits greatly when Fred VanVleet's on the floor because he can kind of, everybody gets better at moving the basketball, at being in the situations, at being calm.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that maybe Jalen Green can find a level of growth in? Do you feel like shooting wise is something he can find a level of growth in? Like, where do you see potential improvement for him in this season to help him be the player that could help him?
What you're talking about is how many tools in the bag does he have?
Absolutely.
He got
one that works real, real good.
How many tools in the bag does he have? He can finish. He can beat people, going to the basket, but can he spot up? You know, can he, and it's not an emphasis in the NBA, but you still need mid-range, you know, on occasion. Can he pull up?
Right.
And those are the things that, you know, when there's a double team coming from behind and there's a big man there or whomever it might be, you might see some of that today. In a preseason game. Nevertheless, I don't know how much the starters are going to play, but no, the tools in the bag is what he has to develop, 100%.
Absolutely, and it's because teams are completely willing to just be like, hey, we'll step back, play drop, we'll give you space.
Go under every screen.
And we're going to make it that much harder. From the 8-3-2, man, y'all sound like some damn Jalen Green haters right now. And I think that it's because of this, like, what he's doing is fine, but for where you're trying to go, you need to decide how much further it can go. Nick Casario was talking about this in a different vein, right? In the Texans All Access, in the GM show with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris, they were asking him about, like, with Will Anderson, right? The idea of when you are scouting a player, you know, clearly you are looking for not just what they do, but what they can grow into and what they're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the reasons why it's been so enriching watching Will Anderson Jr. is that he is doing those things. He's growing into those spaces.
Yes.
And that was evidenced by a 3-sack gain that you got this weekend. Likewise, you take that to basketball. And Jalen Green, where he is, that's cool. Like, he can score when, you know, he is the focal point and everything is geared towards him scoring. The development and the growth for him is, okay, where can you grow into from there? Can you be a player that forces defenses to change the way that they play? Can you be a player that can play alongside other guys as well? Can you be a player that ultimately plays winning basketball?
Right.
And that's what I think needs to be seen for this team. And it's kind of, I don't mean to make it only about Jalen Green because there's other things that they need to figure out.
But it's
a
Jalen Green season.
But it is a Jalen Green season.
Because you're going to find out a lot. And this is why I know you and Spo disagreed with me on this. And I'm not, it's not hating on Jalen Green. What it is what we see, what I've seen, thus far, he's not a number two. He's just not. A number two does all those things, has more tools in the bag, can, run the offense even, or have the offense run through him, on occasion. So that's why I say it's a Jalen Green season. Can he develop into that? Can he get those tools in the bag? Can he become something that, like on a really good team, a contending team, what he does right now is more than fine. That's a full-time scorer. That's a guy that can get it done and get to the basket. But that, to me, is not a number two.
Yeah.
You are a hater.
No.
I want to see if he can take the leap, man.
Yeah.
It's because he has that much talent. Is he
and
going to be able
that's not
to,
hating. It's like you see it.
Is he going to be able to take that leap? Because now you're coming to the point where you're going to have to make the decision of, are you paying for that leap? And will it ultimately come to the way that you want? Is there anybody else that you're – or does it feel – I know somebody brought up Reed Shepherd. I'm interested in him, but I don't know how much I'm like, yo, I need to see this thing develop in a big way, because he already is starting at a really interesting place with the confidence that he brings offensively, with being able to run an offense. Mm-hmm. We were talking to Spo yesterday, and he was mentioning how Ime has talked about just how comfortable he already feels like having him run the offense, and then also running with Fred VanVleet as well a little bit in that mm-hmm. last preseason game on Tuesday. I feel comfortable with where he is at. And knowing that he has time still developing on that rookie clock,
mm-hmm.
the reason why Jalen Green becomes so fascinating because that time is ticking to a completion on that rookie contract, and time is now for that jump.
Well, in terms of anybody else for this year, from what I've seen of him over the years, and when he's healthy, I think Steven Adams is going to be very, very big for this team because, that's another thing that you have to have, especially to win on the road, is offensive rebounding, and I think that's what he's going to bring big time. But that's just the here and now. Long-term, other players, I think Whitmore, could be a big get, a big add, depending on how much he progresses, this year.
I'm super interested to see what this Rockets team looks like going forward and how they continue to settle in. This is a team that has a lot of talent. You mentioned the three-point shooting and the free throw mm-hmm. shooting, those things they need to get better at, and then generating offense by just getting up the floor faster and using the athleticism that they have. All those things, you've seen little pieces of that early on in this preseason, and we'll see how that translates to a full season. And when their goal is clearly to try and make the playoffs this year, that gets going next Wednesday. But preseason game number four, their final one of the preseason, happens tonight. You're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, in honor of National Bosses Day.
Uh-oh.
Question of the day coming up. Who's your worst boss?
Oh, right. And we want stories.
713.
We want stories, Figgy.
572-4610.
Worst boss.
Let us know about your worst boss. We'll talk about it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, let's get into our question of the day here. National Bosses Day was yesterday. And so in honor of that,
mm-hmm.
Who's your worst boss?
Did y'all tell your boss happy National Boss
Day? I totally forgot. Not. I didn't realize.
I didn't even know until you brung it up in the tease.
Yeah.
Why would I do that?
Yeah. So happy Bosses Day, belated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, what was your worst boss? 713-572-4610. Before we get into that, I do wonder, mm-hmm. it made me think, who do you think is the best boss of the sports bosses in Houston? Because I feel like the easy answer is just to go like D'Amico.
Oh, okay. So I was thinking ownership.
Oh, okay.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you could go right to the boss.
Yeah, well, the boss of the players is D'Amico, so that's a good answer.
Because I was like, you go D'Amico, you go Espada, you go Udoka.
Mm-hmm.
D'Amico feels like the one that I think is most highly regarded all the way around. Mm-hmm. Plus,
I haven't heard a bad thing about D'Amico.
Yeah.
We've seen
like
the way.
As a player, right. As anything, like everybody always has something positive.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took it to another level is that like, he also, he has his players' backs.
100%.
In a way that, it seems like Espada and all those guys have their mm-hmm. players' backs as well. But then also, we also hear about how he drives them to coach them to be the best as well. Feels like he finds the right line.
Yes, he does. And in terms of ownership, you would think the easy answer is Jim Crane because of all the success. And he treats his employees well. They get the rings. They get, he really does. The thing about Jim Crane that if I worked for him, you don't see him very often. He doesn't.
That's a great boss.
He doesn't get out in the public very, you, well, my thing is you don't really know what he's always thinking.
Ah, okay. You know, I thought you meant like from a worker perspective.
Yeah.
I feel like you go two
less
ways,
is
right?
More, yeah.
But I'm very much on the side
sometimes
of.
Sometimes that could be a bad thing, especially if the team is not doing good.
Yeah, you don't know what he's
if
thinking.
If the team is doing good, yeah. Then yes, like you ain't got to be around all the time. Yeah. As long as everything good.
Whereas Cal and Hannah, you know, they pretty much wear their emotions on the sleeve, especially Hannah. You kind of you kind of know where they're coming from. So that's an interesting one.
Hannah got a shout out on the text line as well, being the best boss. All right, so now that we got the best, what's who the worst?
So I had a summer job once that I worked for, I want to say it was the full summer, pretty much 3 months, and didn't get paid.
What?
Yeah, it was a contractor, and I was cleaning, you know, taking shingles off of roofs. And, you know, clean. I was kind of a gopher for a construction company, you know, just a young dude just trying to make some money.
Right.
And not only did I not get paid, I got paid the first month, but not the next two. He put it off the second month. And then I said, okay, well, then the third month I was still working. So I was waiting. And by the end of the third month,
you better than me.
I still hadn't gotten, well, because he kept saying, oh, yeah, we'll pay at the end of the month, whatever. You know, we're going to get paid for this job. You
not
know,
no third month.
Typical excuses. Yeah,
you should have treated them like you treated the people that brought that marijuana on the boat, man. <I should've>.
But not only did he not pay me, he actually told me, okay, meet me at this bank. It was a Frost Bank. Meet me at this bank, and I just got paid for all the jobs, and I'll pay you. Never showed.
Oh, man. So you never got paid at all?
For 2 months of work.
Oh, man.
And this was work. This was lifting.
I know.
Lifting lumber, take on top of a roof in the summertime.
Nah, this is labor work.
Yeah, he said it's not work. This is labor.
That's a bit difference. That's labor.
Yeah, I mean, I was on top of roofs taking shingles off of roofs.
And see stuff like that, I understand when people say, hey, I need a down payment.
Yes.
Before I start working,
half up front
yeah. And rest when, once I finish.
Yeah.
For me, it was when I was working retail, which I feel like it's always retail.
Always retail.
Yeah. I used to work at Dick's Sporting Goods. Shout out to that athletic sports store, I guess, whatever. And I had a boss where I don't even remember exactly what happened, but it was one of those days where, you know, light, not much happening.
Yeah.
And I guess I might have been like goofing off, but never like I never goofed off to the point where I was like not getting things done.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, man, ain't nothing to do.
It was an easy day.
I'm gonna move around. And I guess he felt like I had not done what he had told me to do.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with that. But, you know, it'd be like that sometimes. Right. And he had the nerve to tell me, do you know I could write you up for insubordination?
Oh, brother.
Oh, my God. And I was like, oh, so you just don't know how to talk to people. And that continued to be the case. Because if there's one thing I hate about management and like a boss is that a boss that doesn't know how to talk to people, right? Mm-hmm. If you can't deal with interpersonal relationships,
you're right.
That's the name of the game when you're a manager, right? Yeah. And so, yeah, that was my worst one because that is a small microcosm of all of the annoyances that he caused. If you imagine a dude when you're just, you don't got no work, you did everything you needed to do, and he's like, you are being insubordinate. That guy that has that ego.
And he tries to use that power.
Yes.
As a weapon.
Yes.
He weaponizes it.
Yes. That was easily my worst boss.
Man. So my worst boss was here at this. No, I'm just I'm joking.
Yesterday. Let me tell you.
Nah, everybody here cool. But no, the worst boss I ever had was back in Cleveland. I used to work at a group home for mentally disabled adults.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing the third shift.
Yeah.
So people that don't know, the third shift is pretty easy and laid back because they're asleep.
Yeah.
And pretty much all I do is focus on the cleaning. I clean everything throughout the night. And if I clean everything early, then I got a cool night. I can kind of just chill. So this new lady that came in who was our boss, she tried to pretty much call all night to make sure I wasn't sleeping.
Boo.
And then she tried to pop up just to try to make sure I'm working. I'm like, dude, like, have you worked the third shift before?
Like, it's nighttime.
Ain't nobody out here with all the lights on trying to clean everything all night.
Yeah.
Man. Like, these people are asleep. Like, this is their home. So, you know, I kind of work my own way.
Yeah.
So it was one day this lady tried to come, like, it was like 2:00 in the morning to do a doggone fire drill.
Oh, come on.
I'm like, what is you doing?
Come on.
I told her that too. And I like all of my bosses. Like, I never get into it with anybody. But I looked there, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, these people are asleep. Like, it's other ways we did. I've been working in this field for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's other ways we can conduct the fire drill.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, why is we waking these older, and these guys are like 70 years old. Like, why are we waking them up to walk outside late at night? They ain't know what was going on.
Right. If there's one thing that they have earned by living this long is the ability to sleep through the night. Just let them sleep.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. I'm like, it's other ways we can get through this. Mm-hmm. Like, now, if it's a real fire, that's totally different. But, like, come on now. Mm-hmm. And she was just doing that to kind of get on my nerves, too. That's the part that got me. She wasn't, like, trying to follow
the
rules.
No, she was messing with you.
Yeah, because it'd be one thing if she was just going down the line following each rule.
Yeah.
But she wasn't even that type of person.
And even, like, with that, that's the type of stuff that makes me think, do you not have enough work to do?
Yeah, I'm like,
right? Like,
yeah.
I feel like
do you have a life?
Mm-hmm. You should have some work to do.
Every other boss would be asleep during that time.
Yeah.
And say, hey, call me if it's
anything
an emergency.
Goes on, yeah.
Yeah, everything cool. I've been doing that shit for like 6 years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, now you want to come all late at night and all this other stuff. I'm like, man.
I think a lot.
I ended up quitting that job because of that.
Yeah.
Because
of her?
Yeah.
I think a lot of bosses are just in over their heads, and that's when they become bad bosses. Like that. Like, she probably had no clue what she was doing.
Yeah, that's one of the things I feel like we have so many manager positions in life all the way across in various industries. I don't think that we have enough people that are capable of being managers or have the disposition to be managers, right? It's almost like we were talking about yesterday with offensive line. We got a lot of positions for offensive line. Similar with starting quarterback. We got a lot of positions for starting quarterback. We don't have a lot of people that fit the qualifications to be a starting quarterback or a starting offensive lineman in the way that we talk about it. And so you end up with a lot of folks that are out here, you know.
And the worst part about this lady.
Blocking above their weight class.
The worst part about this lady was the consumers that was living there, they thought she was awful.
Well, that's
like
a sign.
when they think they can't stand your ass.
Yeah.
Like that's a problem right there.
100%. So people text in from 346. They said they had a boss at Rent-A-Center. Dude was a jerk, requested a transfer. They gave Thanksgiving to move and report back on Black Friday at 5 in the morning.
Oh, man.
Mm.
Yeah, you got to be real careful when it's like, hey, man, asking me to work on holidays, you better talk nice to me. Yeah.
Exactly. Apparently, I wasn't the only one that didn't get paid for work. There's been a couple of them on the text board.
That would take me off.
Dude, here I am all these years later, still mad.
Yeah.
And he sent me to a bank, meet me here. Now, that's just.
Yeah, nah, that's wrong.
And then doesn't show.
What I hate doing this, but what was he? Was he like.
Nah, don't do that. Yeah,
that's very important, man.
He was young. He was a young contractor, so he was clearly kind of going check to check, job to job, and just decided, I don't got to pay this guy.
Yeah,
he's a college student.
Okay, yeah. The reason I asked, I'm like,
he was asked for demographics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
The reason I asked, they probably like, oh, here's a Hispanic. He'll do it for free.
It was a white dude. But I think the bigger part of it was like,
I think he's trying to get over because
you
was in college.
It was one of those just kind of, you know, you get paid by sometimes a personal check, sometimes cash.
Yeah.
You know, he was just going check to check. I hope his business failed dramatically.
Man.
Yeah. The reason why I'm just amazed, and you were young, obviously, because that same boss that I was telling y'all about that I worked for, I told him square to his face at some point that I was like, look, if a check ever bounces on me, I don't work here anymore.
Yeah.
Cool, calm like that, straight like that. Like, I don't work, and I maybe that's one of the reasons he did not like the way that I talked to him. But that's just the facts, man. If you, if the whole idea of employment is I work, you pay. If you do not pay, that violates the contract.
That pretty much does it.
Someone else texted in from the 936. The worst job that they had was something similar to John, part of their curriculum at A&M. They had to intern with the sports team and the sports team internship. They didn't get paid from a minor league team.
Dang.
Oh, man.
That's tough. Let's see. Other things that came through. Worst boss was actually their last job. He was actually mean. No joke. Yeah, mean.
Well, that's another sign of someone who's in over their head.
Yeah.
They just have to lash out somehow.
Shout out to the owner of the Cowboys, right? Just lashing out. Yeah. Let's see. Some other things that came in.
From the 832, somebody said, Figgy, I don't think your boss was messing with you at work because I guess they went through something like that, too. No, she was messing with me because we had an agreement throughout that whole company.
He's
agreement.
Like, I hear you. However,
no, like I understand the rules, all the rules and all that stuff. But she picked that time to do that. She wasn't doing that at no other houses.
Yeah.
Like it'd be one thing if she was consistent with everything. That's the problem I have when you're not consistent in what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nah. And on top of other stuff going on, too.
I ever tell you about my first job? I might have told you, Figgy. My first job, like actual professional job, writing for a newspaper. My sports editor, who was actually an okay guy, he was funny and all that. But we had to come cover a game in Houston. Actually, I was working at the Bryan Eagle, and we were driving to Houston. I think it was Phi Slamma Jamma. I think it was Phi Slamma Jamma against the Aggies. So we're driving to Hofheinz Pavilion back then. And he asked me to pull over at a convenience store. He goes in and buys two Hustler magazines.
Oh, I think you told. I don't know if you told this off the air.
I'm driving. I'm 21.
Two of the same magazine?
No, two different ones.
Okay.
And so I'm driving.
I had a real question.
I'm trying to impress my boss. I'm going to cover a game with the sports editor. And he puts his feet up on the passenger side, which I don't like anyway.
Right. Of my in your truck, job? Or your car?
In my truck. I had a little blue Datsun. Datsun truck. And I'm driving my little Datsun. And he starts pulling out centerfolds and all these, you know what kind of shots? And turns them to me as I'm driving. Like, look at that. What do you think about that? And I'm like, dude, this is what I'm getting into.
Man, now, you, a young journalist, is like, this is what the industry is.
I'm just aspiring, you know. This guy's a pro. He's been in the business for 20 years. He's showing me.
Look at that woman.
He's showing me Hustler. Yeah,
that's how you get your mind right for the game. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Shout out to all the good bosses, as opposed to the ones that we were just talking about. In our question of the day, In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where. This time, we might talk about some stadium financing, but also a division rival gets rid of a player. Would he fit on the Texans? We'll talk about that more next. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.